Good evening, everybody. My name is Will, and I'm an alcoholic. First of all, welcome to the newcomer. Good to see you tonight. I hope you find here what so many of us have found here. And from Hungary, was it? Man, that is going to any lengths, aren't you? Yeah. It's. I just realized I have like this red microphone that looks like a red ice cream cone or clown nose I could stick on my face. You guys aren't doing a good job of not distracting the speaker. So, let's see here. I got 10 minutes. So, let me tell you a little bit about how I got here. I always like to start with a little bit about that it wasn't always bad. That I had a really good time before it got bad. To give you like a short picture of that, I, first of all, I got to watch my time because I'll get running. And I know you're going to warn me. But I don't want to stay drunk too long, you know. And so, everything was great. I was a good kid, did everything I was supposed to, until I didn't. And that pretty much erupted in using alcohol in all forms. And I did that for a lot of years. I decided I needed a life adventure. I've hitchhiked cross country multiple times. I followed bands around, and I sold all sorts of illicit substances in order to fund those expeditions. And during all this time, that was a really good time for me. I had a lot of fun doing all that stuff. And the height of that, I ended up going, I said, well, I was in really love traveling. I said, let me go to the farthest place I can go. And I went to the other side of the world. I went to Singapore and Bali, and I spent about a month over there. And that was great. Everything's great. And at some point, I get in my head, well, I am... kind of done with this. I'm feeling a little road weary, and it's time to go back home. So I go back home, and I end up staying with my sister. And that was when I was introduced to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, actually. And I went to one with her. We're not going to make her part of this story too much, but let's just leave it at that. I went with her, and she's great. No, she's great. She's great. Her and I have a great relationship to this day. And having settled in the life, I'd worked construction before, and I'd decided to continue doing that. And settling into what now seemed to be somewhat of a sedentary life, the drinking amongst all the things I had done, for whatever reason, that seemed to be the sticker. Everything else was like, God dang, this stuff is terrible. I can't do it anymore. And I stopped. And that was kind of that. And the alcohol eventually got to that place too. So let me not get too far ahead of myself. I started calling it my consolation prize because it was like, I got to live this life. And I got to do these sedentary things and show up and go to work every day. Well, I'm going to drink. And that's how I'm going to get through it. I never understood people that didn't come to work because they were hungover, because the clear solution to that is to drink more alcohol, and now I can go to work. And that worked for me really great for a long time. And eventually it got to the point of, let's fast forward because I do only have 10 minutes like mentioned here. And I started with like, a beer in the morning, and a beer at lunch, and then a couple beers at night. And that went on for quite a while, actually. Slowly but surely, like I said, let's fast forward here, it turned into, I was like an all-day drinker. Like, this is the type of drinker I was, is that I knew wherever every liquor store was. I used to call it getting right. I'm just trying to get right. So I know where every liquor store is. I know what they sell because I need a certain amount to get right. And that might vary depending on the day. Maybe I need a shot in a tall boy. Maybe I need a pony in a tall boy. Maybe I need a half pint in a tall boy. Maybe I need a pint in a tall boy. Maybe I need a fifth and a 30 pack. It all just depends. And all those places don't sell all those things. And so I would do that in the morning. I would do that every chance I got. I knew where these liquor stores were. I knew the tricks to get there. I worked construction, like I said. I worked in residential construction. So there was kind of, I worked for myself for much of this time as well. But there seemed to always be a really good reason to leave the job and need to get materials or need, you know, we need something. But clearly what I really need is a drink. And that's how I found those things. I remember being so frustrated when I would end up down in the valley. And I don't know how it is now, but back then you could not find a liquor store open before 8 a.m. So now I'm in line at Vaughn's because it's the only place, behind the lady taking her kids to school with the Lunchables, and you can't get pints or ponies or whatever at Vaughn's. So I got my fifth and my 30 pack ready to go into the truck, and I'm just behind this lady, and I don't know that I thought this at the time. I definitely wasn't proud of it, but after coming here, I've learned that that was pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I will not be doing a fifth step here tonight, but let me tell you, prior to getting sober, I was not a good husband. I was not a good brother. I was not a good son. I was running riot, you know? And there's, let's not get into the weeds here. So one day I'm down in the valley and, I'm back to, at some point I'd given up and I'm just like fifth and 30 pack every day, you know? And I'd given up and that was my life. That's what I'm doing. I'm an alcoholic. You know, why do you drink so much? Will, I go, I'm thirsty, you know. Will, you drink so much? I go, well, I'm an alcoholic. I don't have a choice. I took step one long before I got here. And so I'm on my way to this job, and I'm back to trying to manage. I'm back to, I know these liquor stores, like I said, so I know where these are and what to get. I'm back to, you know, a shot and a tall boy, a shot. So on my way to work, to the valley, I don't know how many liquor stores later, shots and tall boys, shots and tall boys, shots and tall boys. I pull over on Ventura Boulevard into, I forget the corner, but it's McDonald's on Ventura Boulevard, and I make the call. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I did know people. Like I said, I'd gone to my first meeting with my sister, so I was aware of people in AA. So I knew where to go and what to do. And they said, okay, here's the deal, blah, 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 blah. You know, we run through different things. All right, I'm going to go home for the day, but I got to go to the job. And I had called the job a couple times on the way there and said, hey, I'm going to be late. So I show up. I pull up, and the lady's out in the front yard, and I say, you know, I'm so sorry, but, you know, my nephew's a drug addict, and I have to fly to Albuquerque because we're going to do an intervention on him. So, and she's probably about as far like this from me to you. And she goes, are you sure it's your nephew? And I thought, that's pretty rude, you know? And she goes, I can smell you from here. And she said, you know, prior to being a stay-at-home mom, I was a drug and alcohol counselor. And she convinced me to hang back and drink some coffee and stay with her for a little bit until I convinced her that I was sober enough to drive home. And that started my road to recovery. I had a sponsor by my third meeting. I knew her. I go to the Grange. Should have mentioned that. My sobriety date is October 11th, 2008. Well, hot damn, it's my birthday. Look at that. And I do have a home group. It's the AM Midday Mod, and I kind of have two home groups, but we're going to go with that one. You know, I love all the meetings in this valley, but that's been my mainstay since I got sober. So I come to my meeting. I get a sponsor. This is one beautiful thing that I suggest to any newcomers. I hope so many people do it, that you have the gift of desperation. And I got into the work, you know, I got in the steps, and life did change. I do want to wrap up because I know I'm getting close to time here. I did stay drunk too long, dang it, you know, but that's true in more ways than one, probably, isn't it? I did not stay sober from my first meeting. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm here today. And all those experiences are things that I get to share with newcomers now today. What life is like for me now that I'm sober is that I have a host of people that love me. I came from a dinner tonight for my birthday of just wonderful people that love and appreciate me, and I love and appreciate them. I have people in my life that are friends, but they might as well be family. And sometimes better than family, if you guys' families are anything like mine. I have a beautiful life with my wonderful better half here, who's gracious enough to help me with my mom. We take care of my mom, who's 85. And I think I got one story to leave you with, and it's a short one. But this is just one example of the things I get out of sobriety. I love to ski. And for years, I was trying to teach my daughter to ski successfully. She can ski. And we ended up at this other mountain. I used to do this thing because I want to go to the top mountain. I want to do what I want to do. And we used to go to this thing where they would have a half-day lesson, and then we would ski together. So I get the first half of the day to myself. I can go do what I want, and she's all taken care of. Well, you end up at this other mountain. They don't have anything like that. They can do a lesson for about an hour, and then I got to go back and get her. So they do that. I go back. I get her. It's a group lesson, however many kids and one instructor. And I said, great, you're good. Let's go to the top of the hill, you know. And so she takes off, and she's done this before, but this mountain's a little different. We get to the top of the hill. We start to go down, and she's going, and she starts heading, like, straight down this hill. And I'm going, put your weight on your left heel. Turn left. Turn right. You're not listening, you know. And next thing you know, she goes down on her back, and she's just sliding straight downhill. If she tells the story, she's heading straight for a tree and going to die. That's no. And so she's heading to a little soft snowbank, and I'm behind her. And I'm mad because she's not listening. She's not putting her weight where I tell her to and all this. And it's ruining my day because I want to go to the top of the mountain. I want to do what I want to do. And I pull up to her, and she's hit this snowbank. The tree's 100 feet away. No, it's probably like 5. And I look down, and I got anger on my face. And she's crying. And right away, I go, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? And the anger melts off my face, and I pick her up, and I said, don't worry, honey. We're gonna walk down the hill. And in my head all this time is, you know, things that you guys say. Mostly, we pause when agitated, you know, and constant thought of others, things like that. And she goes, are you mad, Dad? And I go, baby, I'm not mad at all. We go down. I said, you want to take a break? We'll get a hot chocolate. We go and we get a hot chocolate. Sitting there, hanging out for a while. All's good. I say, what do you think? You want to go try a mountain? We can just hit that little bunny hill right here. And this thing is like, I mean, if it was any not a bunny hill, we would have been going backwards. And all day long, we're on this magic carpet. For those of you who are familiar with skiing, we don't have like these smaller hills have these little conveyor belts that take you up. They don't have ski lifts. And all day long, we're going up and down this magic thing, and I'm teaching her little stuff, and that's what we did the rest of the day. I didn't go back to the top of the hill the rest of the day. But I got you guys in my head, you know? We finish up the day. Everybody's happy. Everything's good. And I go, what was your favorite part of the day, hon? And she says, oh, well, I really liked my private lesson. And I said, your private lesson? You took the group lesson. Who gave you a private lesson? And she goes, you did, Dad. And that's what I get. That's the stuff I get from being sober. So thank you guys for listening.